0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Please gamble responsibly.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Back to winning ways for Rangers, with Graham Murty saying he's no problem with banners and silent protests at yesterday's game with Hart. Celtic's title win will have to wait until next weekend's Old Firm game after losing against Hibs on Saturday. And Partick Thistle's Ian Maxwell is the new chief executive of the Scottish FA. Two men who were cruelly overlooked for the role join me this evening, Derek Johnson and Hugh Keevans.
What a weekend of talking points, and here's one you can have right away. Daniel Candeias running to Andy Halliday after he scored the goal and bypassing his manager in the process is not a sign of dressing room unity at Ibrox. For me, it's a sign of ongoing disrespect for Graham Murty. Candeias one week storms off the pitch and up the tunnel, and the next week he wants group hugs. Do me a favour.
Very grumpy start from you this evening, okay? Yeah,
and would you believe I totally disagree with that? I think you ran to the player because it's all about the players on the park. I said on Friday and Saturday, the players had to get a grip of themselves. They had to play not only for themselves and Graham Murty, but for the supporters as well. And I think he did the right thing. As soon as he scored, he ran right over to the bench, and quite right.
Well, if it's all about the players in the park, why did he leave the park and go up the tunnel and not care what happened to the other players on the park when he's playing against Celtic?
Because that's what he felt like doing. He didn't feel like watching the rest of the game, so he went in the dressing room. I don't see anything wrong with that. Why would you want to stand? Well, what can you do sitting watching a game?
Listen,
you can't do anything. You're as well going in and getting a nice hot bath.
When Pogba is going to do the same thing for Man United, he gets told, hey, back in here to watch the rest of the match. It's not a sign of unity at all.
Whether it was Rangers' win yesterday, Celtic's defeat on Saturday, looking ahead to next weekend's action, whatever you want, we're here for you. 0141 951 1025 is the number on the phones. You can, of course, tweet us at Clyde SSB as well. And we could go on and on. Partick Thistle, what a vital win for you on Saturday. And, of course, St Mirren fans. Party atmosphere in Paisley as you finally got your hands on the trophy as well. Give us a call, send us a tweet, and we'll go over as much as we can in the next couple of hours.
And I wonder if there's a wee bit of handshaking at Dens Park when Dundee got that late winner. I just wonder if Neil came down and said, very good game, Tommy, well done.
I think Tommy said congratulations on your hard fought win.
I would doubt it.
No. What a great header from Chris Doolan though for Partick Thistle.
It was indeed. Let's kick off by hearing from Graham Murty. He says his side bounced back perfectly from last weekend's defeat to Celtic in the 2-1 win against Hearts yesterday, but he believes they should have won by more. Fans staged a silent protest. They unveiled a couple of banners criticising on and off the field matters at the club. The Rangers boss says they have every right to voice their opinions.
In difficult conditions, the team had 27 goal scoring opportunities to their 5, and I think but for some lack of composure in the final third, we could have been out of sight. We made it a little bit edgy for ourselves than we needed to, but overall impressed and kind of heartened by the response of the players today. It's been spot on all week. The guys have really focused inwards because we know that things have been written in the press, things have been said on TV that we can't control, and we haven't really let it affect us too much. We wanted to focus in within the group. The group did that really well, and I thought that we took the game to our opponents from the start and really maintained a good intensity throughout the game. The fans are fully within their rights to represent themselves and the club however they see fit. I will never ever go against their wishes, but I said to the players we had to generate an atmosphere in the change room for ourselves, and if we wanted something from them, we had to go on and put on a performance. And I thought there were times when we were on the brink of really clicking into a high gear, but I hope the fans saw some passion, some intensity, and not a little bit of quality, because it's been a hard week, but the players stood up today.
Graham Murty talking about the number of chances that Rangers made as they approached the game against Celtic. It's an extraordinary stat for me that Rangers have scored more goals than Celtic in the league this season. One club is in turmoil and the other is on the verge of 7 league titles in a row, but Rangers have scored more goals than Celtic.
Well, Graham Murty also said that the display against Celtic wasn't an accurate representation of the quality in his squad. He says things must be different next Sunday. He says they shouldn't be defined by just that one game, and he believes that Daniel Candeias' celebration shows the players are together.
I view next Sunday as a massive game for this football club. They're all massive games. That's why the split was done, so we have big games every week. There's no bigger game, in my opinion, in Scotland. than Rangers and Celtic. We didn't turn up to the last one in a way that would represent ourselves in a correct manner. We know that. We started back today by doing simple things really well with intensity and with quality. We need to do more of the same. I've said to you guys all the way through that I know what these guys are like. I see these guys every single day. There's people out with our group that write a lot of stuff that don't see them every day, that only see them on a match day and make wild assumptions and sweeping statements about them. I know the qualities of the players in that group. They were hurt last week and they showed a fantastic response for myself, for themselves and for the football club. So the answers that we have for the footballers, they can only answer by putting in performances like that one today.
Does the reaction from Daniel to his goal to mop the spirit in the camp, carry too much into that?
What do you mean when he runs straight past me? That one? No, to be fair, listen, I don't know if it was pre-planned, I don't know anything about it, but everyone was in. The atmosphere and the spirit within the group has been good all week, I've told you this. If they want to make a public display of it, more power to them. We were all hurting last week. We all had a hard time last week. We will not be, in my opinion, defined by one game. We won't allow ourselves to be. We have to react in a positive way. I thought that the reaction that I asked for was the one I got because we refused to let that game fall over into this week, and I thought the boys did that really well.
Derek, what did you make specifically of the football side of things, the performance and everything else that went into on the field at Ibrox yesterday?
It's the first game I'd watched live for a long time. You know, obviously we're working here on a Saturday, we don't really get the chance, you know, to see. We see it on the television, but actually being there, I think the first thing that hit me was the Union Bears, how the silent boycott. I mean, there was no atmosphere at all. I mean, there was 40,000. I don't even know what the crowd was, but it was silent.
The official was 47.
I think they include all the season tickets and that. Yeah. I mean, but there was a big crowd and it was so quiet in there. So the players had to do it themselves. I've said it before, you know, they had to go out and do something. I was bitterly disappointed with the Hearts performance. You know, you would think that the turmoil at Rangers in, the stick they're getting from the fans, you know, they must have been low. Let's go and have a go because it's a free hit for Hearts. They're not going down. You know, there's not a big deal for them. They could have came there and had a real go. They didn't. They played five at the back, four in midfield and one up. You know, and people are saying, oh, the first half was terrible simply because Hearts didn't want to come forward. Listen, it's their prerogative to do what they like. Had they gone back down the M8 with a 0-0, they'd have been delighted. The best thing that could happen to the game was Rangers scoring early in the second half. Far better centre half. I thought the attitude that I slaughtered last week against Celtic, it was all there yesterday. The closing down, they worked their socks off you. But you have to do that every week, not when you're under pressure and you have to do it. That's what the fans want from you. You're not going to win every game, but you've got to be there and you've got to be at players and you've got to be tackling. They did all that yesterday. 2-1 really flattered Hearts in the end because it was one-way traffic. I think Rangers had something like 69% possession. You know, Hearts just sat back. But a better display for them. And obviously, there's a wee bit better feeling amongst the fans and the players now after the game.
Hugh Keevan's two banners, one before the kick-off, which said, no fight, no pride, nowhere to hide, incompetent on and off the pitch, we deserve better. And then another one at the start of the second half, mindless behind the scenes, heartless on the pitch, again, we deserve better.
Well, fans pay the money. And they are entitled, within the boundaries of good taste, to protest in that manner. I have absolutely no problem with that at all. But I do come back to the point that I think when two players take the huff against Celtic, those two players being Daniel Candace and Andy Halliday, when Candace runs to Halliday, that's the boys who were in the huff siding against the manager for me.
Well, we're also on Twitter at Clyde SSB. A few people disagreeing with you, Hugh. Ben says, tell Hugh that Candace gave Murty a high five and a hug when he got subbed for O'Halloran. And there was another one as well talking about him patting Murty, if you like, on his way towards the bench. But anyway, give us a call, 01419511025. Billy's in Carntyne. Hi, Billy.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Not too bad. What's on your mind tonight?
Just a wee point for... Hi, Hugh. Hi, DJ.
Hi, Billy.
Hello, Billy.
I was on immediately after the Rangers 4-0 win against Dundee, and I had a few negative points also on the performance, not on the scoreline. And I was speaking to DJ, obviously DJ doesn't get to the games as much now, obviously because he's committed to yourself to Saturday and things like that. But a wee question, DJ, first, what did you think foremost about the performance on Sunday and the atmosphere on Sunday, DJ, now you got to the game, and it was good to see at half-time doing the draw as well, by the way.
I mean, the atmosphere, there was no atmosphere, that was the problem, yeah. You know, because the Union Bears are normally the ones, you know, do all the singing for 90 minutes, and that generates the atmosphere. They decided, you know, and they're quite entitled to do that, they pay their money like everybody else. And Rangers had to make their own atmosphere. But I thought they worked hard. That's the first thing you expect from any team, is to go there and chase and harass and work your socks off. And they certainly did that, a lot more than they did last Sunday, that's for sure.
Definitely. Well, I can't fault the commitment yesterday, because every player, man or less, gave 100%. They were all trying, you know what I mean? But there was a wee bit of nervousness. And on the crowd side, I would say it was at least about 38, 39,000 yesterday, DJ.
Yeah, I would say so, yeah. But, you know, you're just not used to going to football games and you don't hear any atmosphere. It was very, very eerie. But I'll tell you what, and I said on Friday and Saturday, the best thing about Rangers in the last 6 years has been the supporters. They've stood by them. And even now, rather not turn up, you know, they would rather get the silent protest, but they'll still come and watch the games. And that's the great thing about these Rangers fans the last 6 years. That's the most positive thing about the club. And I think that they're taken for granted an awful lot. I don't think they're taken for granted these days, but they'll still come and watch their side. But they're right, they deserve more. And they deserve what they've seen on Sunday there, the effort that's put in. That should be first and foremost what every Rangers player gives.
Definitely. Well, as you say, the silent protesting thing, you heard yourself, there was not one bit of singing at all from start to finish in the full match. You know what I mean? Even when we scored, there was like a cheer.
You know what? It was funny because you could actually hear the manager shouting and you could hear the players shouting on the pitch. I've never ever heard that before because it was so quiet.
Definitely.
Billy, did yesterday's game, did it make any difference to you in terms of how confident you are coming up against Celtic again? Because I know the Rangers fans were hurting so badly last week. You obviously got back to winning ways. Has it lifted your spirits at all? Or you know, how are you feeling going into this week's game?
Yeah, well, it's a sort of a sinner saying question, I would say. How do you answer that, man?
Yes or no is normally a start.
I'll get to you in a wee moment. You've got a wee bone to pick you as well. I've got a bit more confidence. I just hope they bring that performance next week. Well, this weekend against Celtic, and know the one that they brought in the previous in the cup, because we just didn't turn up.
You know what, Billy? There's no doubt Graham Murty's watched that Hibs Celtic game at the weekend and how Hibs were magnificent. You know, going and closing Celtic down, don't allow them to play from the back.
Yep.
They made the mistakes, they worked hard. Plus, there were a lot of good, skillful players in that Hibs side.
Exactly.
Now, if Graham Murty doesn't
Celtic
take anything out of that.
I don't think DJ said Celtic were on the game, but you.
Yeah, but they weren't allowed to play because they were getting closed down that quickly. And that should tell Graham Murty something. And that's basically what he has got to do next Sunday. They can't sit back as they did at Hampden, or they'll get beaten again, that's for sure.
Right, before we move on, Billy, pick your bone with Hugh Keevans.
Towards your comments about Kandesh running over towards the players, you know, I think that's a good thing to see about a player unity, even though he didn't exactly run right by Murray. But I think that was all pre-planned. That was a wee bit of a fight determination for each player there to, let's go, we can do this next week against Celtic. But put it this way, me personally, I thought Celtic, even though taking away for his performance, they played well. But Celtic, I think they were waiting for us to come to Parkhead to have a title party at Parkhead, because if it was me in that position, and we were playing Hibs last week and we had the chance of winning the league this weekend against Celtic, I would rather win it against Celtic Ibrox. And I'm sure any Celtic fan would probably get
it. Well, hold on. Let me just address the point about Kandias. I repeat. First of all, he wants to walk off the park and up the tunnel at Hampden. The following week, he wants to have group hugs and a mass loving at Ibrox. Make your mind up. You're either about unity or you're not about unity. And you were at the game, Billy, and I watched on TV, and in his flash interview after the game, Graham Murty was asked about the Kandias celebration. He said, "I'm wiping the custard off my face."
01419511025 to get in touch. You can send us a tweet at Clyde SSB as well. John is a Rangers fan in Clydebank on the line. Hi, John.
Hiya, how you doing?
Not too bad, John. What's your point tonight?
I was at the Celtic game, and I was at the game at the weekend, and when you hear like players like Kenny Muller and Jimmy Nicol, and Murty just seems to stand at the dugout on his own. There's nobody there. And surely a couple of days before the game he can sit with senior players, because he's a brand new manager. I know he's an under-20 coach. Now he's a Rangers manager. Surely if you've got the best interest in Rangers Football Club, people like Kenny Muller and Jimmy Nicol, people like that should be sitting around a table with him. And he's saying, "Look, I'm thinking of playing Kenny Halliday against the Celtic. What do you think?"
Do you think that Walter Smith would have run the team by committee? Do you think that Jock Wallace would have run the team by committee?
too. I never said running team by committee. I'm talking about a guy who, even it sounds like there's jealousy in part of senior players, almost jealousy of the fact that Murty's getting all these instructions, the guy that was under 20 coach, and it's like it's hurting their pride, as though they've been told by the under 20 coach that they've known as under 20 coach, instead of getting behind the guy. And if they think that, you know, Kenny Miller, listen, the guy's a very experienced player. He's well, he should have a lot of positive things to say. And if I'm a new manager and Kenny Miller's got an opinion, I'm listening to his opinion. I'm not saying run it by committee. The guy's just a new manager. And
but he's,
you know,
not. He's not a new manager though. He's not. He was simply the last. He was simply the last man standing when Pedro Caixinha left town with all his pals. So.
He was an under 20 manager.
Yeah, but he's a new manager. Yeah.
He isn't new in that respect.
Yeah, of course he is. But he knows.
So you're saying these senior players, what experience at Rangers, what experience with the other players. Don't forget, the under 20 manager probably had little experience with the senior team.
Well, I'll say this then. The board were in the wrong to give him the position in the first place then. The board should have done something about it.
That's the best Rangers have played in the 5 years since the Mantini. He said them playing better as a union. It's the same players that the previous manager.
Well, if he's got them playing the best football for 5 years, why do you need them to sit down with Kenny Miller?
Because he will make mistakes. I run my business, and I can assure you, I make mistakes. And we have a manager's meeting every month. We sit down every month, and I listen to other people's opinion. I've been running it for 25 years. But I'm no sure. If somebody says, look, this is a better idea and you do this, I'm happy to listen. So if you want to call that run by committee, I think it's better for my business that I listen.
Well,
to
I come back to you. If he's got Rangers playing the best football for the last 5 years, I fail to see why he needs to consult anyone.
So you see, the point I'm making is, he clearly made mistakes against Celtic, against Kilmarnock, at Kilmarnock. People are saying, if we never lost stupid points, we would have been closer to Celtic. We never at any time lost stupid points. The teams that were beating us were actually better on the day. You know, whether it was St Johnstone, whether it was Kilmarnock, I don't care who it was. On the day, whether it was Ibrox, they were better on the day than Rangers. He's a boy. He's learning the job. It's the first time these guys were probably, he looked up to them 6 months ago. Now he's their gaffer. I don't think you're getting the grip of the fact.
And I don't understand your point. If he's playing the best football that Rangers have played for 5 years, what's your problem?
Right, we're in danger of going round in circles here. Thank you to John and Clydebank. Keep the calls coming. We're on Twitter at Clyde SSB as well. Andrew McFadden says, enjoyed the game yesterday. Best bit was seeing a real Rangers legend doing the halftime draw and putting a smile back in our faces. And who was it?
Well, I think it was Derek.
Oh, was it? All right, okay.
I turned up, yes.
Right, okay. I wondered what the boos were when I went down to get my pie.
And I've got a wee thing to tell you right after the break.
Okay, well, we're going to hear from Brendan Rodgers. Celtic, of course, beaten at Easter Road. And that means the title clincher, if you like, rolls on. We'll hear from Brendan Rodgers after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's show. If you want to get in touch, please do. You can phone, you can tweet, you can send other forms of communication, but those are the two that we will pick up on. Plenty to get through before the end of the show. I'm sure we'll get back to Rangers against Hearts yesterday at some stage, but in the meantime, let's hear from Brendan Rodgers. He says the better side won on Saturday after Hibs 2-1 win. The Celtic boss admits it was frustrating not to clinch the title at the weekend, but says it sets up a huge game on Sunday.
I thought the best team won. I thought that Hibs over the course of the game were better than us. We had a good start, and we didn't defend well enough today in large parts of the game. In terms of our spacing and our pressing wasn't so good, and then we weren't quick enough on the ball. So when you play like that, then of course it can make it difficult for yourselves. So the best team won.
Yeah, with a good goal, but just too little too late in terms of getting back in the game.
Yeah, we were better second half. I thought we kept the ball for longer periods in their half, which allows you to create a little bit more. And we've got to keep going. You've got to keep fighting in at 2-1. Can you get something from the game? But like I say, performance-wise, we didn't play so well today. And that hasn't been very often since I've been here. Sometimes you just have to take your medicine and congratulate Hibs and look to the next game.
We knew this scenario could then arise, that you could win the league against Rangers. Are you hoping that results can go your way both today and tomorrow, that that's the case, that you can win it while you're playing?
Listen, I'm... ideally, every coach and manager would say they'd love to do it when you're playing. And we wanted to do that. We know that, you know, the behind the goal was packed with our supporters today, and we were hoping to do that. But unfortunately, we weren't able to do that for them. So we've collated enough points that's given us a good advantage, so that if any of the teams over the next couple of days, today and tomorrow, slip up, then we can be a champion. But if it's not the case, then we'll take it forward into next weekend.
A big game against Rangers, if that is the case.
Absolutely. I think that the four games, they're all big games. One, because we want to win the league. And two, we want to try and go into the final with some good form.
If Celtic win the double treble, it's history. And Brendan Rodgers should be the manager of the year. For me, if you make history, how can you not be manager of the year? But funny old season. Dropped 27 points now. 9 draws. 3 defeats. They only dropped 8 in the whole of last season. As I said earlier, Rangers have scored more goals than Celtic, and there are ongoing worries for Brendan Rodgers. Dedric Boyata,
the goals thing's not going to worry Brendan Rodgers though. I mean, it's a balancing act between what you do at one end and what you do at the other.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, it's a peculiarity of the season that Rangers, who are getting it from all directions, have scored more goals than Celtic, who have, as everyone knows, better players. So 27 points dropped. They need to win all 4 games in order to better the total from Ronnie Dyla's last season as Celtic manager. Ongoing problems like Dedric Boyata simply does not seem to learn from his mistakes. He was found wanting again at the weekend. For me, Scott Sinclair, he just looks a spent force. He was the player of the year last season, but he looks a spent force this season. But as I say, if Celtic beat Rangers, they win the championship, 7 in a row. They then are 90 minutes away from the double treble. And if you win the double treble, how can the manager not be manager of the year?
Derek, on Twitter, Stephen is on. We're at Clyde SSB, by the way, if you want to get in touch. Stephen says, Celtic's lacklustre performance left me fizzing all over the shop at the back, non-existent up front. For me, Hendry and Griffiths played themselves out of a starting place against Rangers. What did you make of it at the weekend?
Yeah, I would agree with it to a certain extent, but they weren't allowed to play. Normally when Celtic get it, they've got plenty of room, and if you give Celtic room, then they're going to run all over the top and pass you off the game. I think Hibs just got to them. I mean, the tactics, I mean, it seems simple. It's all about you playing better against your man, and if you've got 7 or 8 of your players playing better than the man you're playing against, then you've a chance of winning the game. And that's what happened on Saturday. I think Hibs played out their skin. I have never seen them play like that before, play as well against the top side. I said Celtic made mistakes, of course they did, but they were forced into a lot of these mistakes because Hibs played so well. And that's typical of, you know, of this country of ours. You know, if somebody, you know, gets beaten, you know, it's because they didn't play well. Sometimes the opposition just play far, far better, and their tactics are better than yours on the day. It's as simple as that.
01419511025 is the number you need. John is a Celtic fan in Coatbridge. John, what did you make of it at the weekend?
Oh, I don't usually agree with Big Derek there, but I agreed with him there. I think Hibs were the better team. They were first to every ball, you know what I mean? And they're a right good pace about that Hibs team, you know what I mean? They're really a right good side, but... I always agree with you there about Boyata. I don't know what Brendan Rodgers, that's the only thing I've ever got against Brendan Rodgers. I don't know what he sees in that guy. And to me, I don't know what you, Derek, think. That's a couple of times young Henry's been played in that sort of right wing back role, and he looks lost out there. I mean, I just think he's totally lost. But I thought, when would you call it, if they brought another forward on when he took Griffiths off Brendan, you know what I mean? I don't know if maybe that, because he's still kind of a bit of an injury. That was my first point.
Well,
but
just to address that, when the match finished, Celtic had on the park Odson Edouard. They had Scott Sinclair. You know, Pat Roberts. They still had Tom Rogic, Callum McGregor. I mean, you're talking about Australian internationals, Scottish internationals, last season's player of the year, Patrick Roberts, £11 million it cost to shift him to Manchester City. Odson Edouard, parent club Paris Saint-Germain. Hibs were fantastic on the day. Absolutely fantastic. And Brendan Rodgers can do no more than say the best team won, and some days you have to sit up and take your medicine. But for me, absolutely no excuses from Celtic's perspective, because they've finished up with this array of talent, but they were outfought, outthought, and got the result they deserved.
Can I give another point there, Stu?
Uh-huh.
Aye. No, it's really big Derek. I was saying to Gordon earlier on, what's happened to this boy Goss, Derek? I mean, I know you thought he was a bit of a player, but he seems to have just fell off the radar, big man.
Well, he played two games and he looked the part. Lovely passer of a ball, scored a couple of goals from free kicks, you know, looked the part, and all of a sudden we haven't seen a thing. Now, it's not as if it's an injury, you know, and he's carrying an injury or something. I just think the manager decided he needs players with legs that are going to play. And that's the reason that I think that Jason Holt played yesterday. What a difference. That man's been out for a long, long time. He got his chance yesterday. He must have covered every blade of grass. And that's what you have to do nowadays. No use being a lovely passer of the ball if you can't get back and forward 18-yard box to 18-yard box. And I think that's maybe why Goss isn't playing, because they need somebody that looks a wee bit fitter and a wee bit quicker.
Okay, thank you to John and Coatbridge. Keep the calls coming, please. Something else that was addressed at the weekend, Hugh, was that speculation linking Brendan Rodgers with the vacant Arsenal job. Rodgers, remember, was one of the early favourites to take over. It's funny how quickly these things sort of change over the weekend. A Northern Irishman saying it would take something extraordinary for him to leave.
As always, there's always speculation around, you know, coaches, managers, players, and for me, my only focus is Celtic. You know, I've said it many times. Since the day I walked through the door at Celtic, you know, the support I've been given has been amazing by the supporters themselves, by the club, and I absolutely love working with the players, you know. So naturally, there will be speculation because Arsene has said that he's leaving at the end of the season, and like I say, my name is thrown in there. So, but for me, it's not a consideration. My only focus is really is wrapping up the league title here with the team and then moving into the Scottish Cup final. But listen, I understand that at some point, I've always said I'm living my dream here, and at some point that dream will end, like they all do, and then I go back into the real world again. But I'm privileged to be here as the manager of Celtic. You know, this is a huge club. There's big demands with the club, and I want to help the club grow and develop going forward. So in order to do that, it's about happiness. Listen, there'll be somewhere where I can go and maybe earn two or three times more money than where I am now. But it's not about that. I've worked myself through now for 10 years as a young coach. I'm still relatively young as a manager at 45. Like I say, I'm happy in my professional life and really content outside of that as well. I would always speak to the board. It'll take something extraordinary to take me away from here. I signed last summer. I came in on a year's deal, and the club offered me 4 years, and I was happy to sign that. So after this season, I have 3 more years, and I'll be so happy if I can see that 3 years out.
Well, you heard it from the man. So it's a hypothetical argument that we're having here about Brendan Rodgers and Arsenal, and he is drifting out in the betting, but I can't be bothered with betting stories. You know, the betting stories today that say that Steven Gerrard is on the favourite takeover as Rangers manager. So
not the favourite, but his odds had been cut. Yeah.
So I'm not interested in the betting, but I am interested in it would take something extraordinary, because only one man knows what that means, and that's Brendan Rodgers. What's extraordinary? Only Brendan knows.
Sorry, Hugh. Jim G is on Twitter. He says, far too many teams like Hibs on Saturday have found us out this season. Celtic can't handle teams that play a high tempo pressure game against us. So that's a
do you know what I'd say in reply to that very quickly, Gordon? It's right, but it's another peculiarity of Celtic season that they seem, in terms of the league, incapable of playing two good games in a row.
Well, John is a Hibs fan, and Dalkeith, I'm sure he's a bit more impressed with what Hibs did rather than what Celtic didn't do. How happy were you on Saturday afternoon, John?
Good evening, panel. Thanks for letting me on.
No problem.
I thought Hibs were absolutely fantastic on Saturday, but what I would say is that's been throughout the season, and I think Neil Lennon deserves far more credit than he appears to get. When we came the January break there, he shipped out Anthony Stokes and Murray, who at that time was our top scorer, and he's brought in two players who have been absolutely fantastic up front, totally unheard of before they came to Easter Road, and he's bringing the best out of Martin Boyle and various other players who have always had the talent, but he's put a winning mentality into our team that we've never had for years. So I just wanted to give Neil Lennon a wee bit of credit. Obviously, I travel back and forward between Glasgow and Edinburgh working, and I listen to every night, and it's all about Celtic and Rangers, rightly so, given where the programme's aired from. But I just wanted to say Neil Lennon's been absolutely fantastic for us since he came there.
Well, on Saturday in the programme, John, I said that given that Celtic live in a wee world of their own, if Neil Lennon finishes second, then he's won the best of the rest league. And for me, that entitles him to be considered for manager of the year. It'll have to be awarded before we find out if Brendan Rodgers has won a double treble. So on that basis, I'd be right behind Neil Lennon. I think that the work he's done is astonishing. And, you know, your problem will come when Cambari and McLaren, can you turn loan transfers into permanent transfers?
Well, Neil Lennon certainly hopes so. Derek, John was quite right to mention Florian Cambari. Yep. The great start that came out on Saturday afternoon. You know, he still hasn't lost a game since joining Hibs. He's played 10 games, yeah, you know, and won them all, including Rangers and Celtic in that, an Edinburgh derby as well. And Jamie McLaren actually quite a quiet afternoon. He scored his goal, but
that's all you needed. Yeah.
You could see what the two of them were all about, couldn't you?
Yeah, they worked well. You know, as much as they haven't been together for a long time, but you know, such as football, and it all depends on the supply you're getting from the men from the back and the men from wide as well. Because they're not lads, as I keep saying, who are going to pick up the ball 40 yards out, beat three men and stick it in the net. They need wingers getting down that line, or fullbacks getting down, getting balls into the box, decent balls in, because they will attack it. And like Kilmarnock, you know, Kilmarnock, the thing I like about Neil Lennon, he's like Stevie Clark at Kilmarnock. He gets the best out of players. And that is a great thing for me as a coach. You can't teach him how to play football, but you can teach him how to get the best out of himself. Don't be trying things that you're not good at. Do the things that you do better than what you're doing, and that makes you a better player.
John, how confident are you of a second place finish? Still a bit of work to do, of course.
I'm not overconfident, to be honest with you. But we've been on an absolutely fantastic run, like Kilmarnock have been. They sort of, the wheels came off for them at the weekend.
Yep.
We've got some, I would have to say that I don't think Hearts would play against us the way they did against Rangers yesterday.
No.
A five at the back when Rangers are...
John, where is the game? Is the game at Tynecastle or is it Easter Road?
It's at Tynecastle, Derek.
Honestly, I was just so disappointed with Hearts. Yeah. I mean, we hear the second best defensive record. I can understand why. They've got everybody back, but it's terrible to watch.
Okay, thank you to John, who is the Hibs fan in Dalkeith. If you want to join us on the phone, it's 0141 951 1025. We'll take more of your calls after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap-in. Please gamble responsibly.
Derek Johnson and Hugh Keevans here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's show. If you want to join us, 0141 951 1025 is the number you need. John's in Wishaw. Hi, John.
Hi.
Hello, what's your point tonight?
Me and my wee mate, Paul Hagan, we've been arguing about this for a couple of weeks now. And
right.
He's acquitted himself well. Celtic have lost 3 goals less than last season up to now, so they could possibly be running about the same. But they've scored 41 goals less. Hugh, see your theory about the defence? Uh-huh. They work, mate. It's the guys up front. Tom Rodgick and Saturday missed 2 absolute sitters. So it's up front our problem this season. It's not at the back.
Yeah, a similar point actually from Raffles that I was going to read out to you on Twitter, Hugh. It says, if Celtic only give up 2 goals in their final 4 games, very possible. Mm. He says the defence will have given up the exact same as last season. Can you please ask Hugh why he constantly talks down the defence? The numbers would suggest, well, more than suggest, Hugh, that it's at the other end where Celtic are, I mean, not struggling would be a ridiculous word, not as good as last season.
Yeah. I just look at Boyata. He makes the same mistakes all the time.
Yeah, but they're not costing any more goals than last season. So if you're comparing, surely more scrutiny should be given to the goals for column, which, as yeah, John and Wisher points out, is inferior to last season.
Yeah, as I say, I find it bizarre that no Celtic player has yet reached double figures in terms of goals in the league. And, you know, I don't accept any excuses on Celtic's behalf. Hibs were by far the better side on Saturday, but Celtic, you know, they finished the match with so much talent, multi-million pound talent, and they were not at the races. But I go back to it that they do make the same mistakes over and over again.
John, what are you putting it down to, John? I mean, are you picking out individuals, or is there something a bit more to it?
Hugh, that's the best defensive record in Britain. No Scotland, Britain, 100-odd teams, and you're still saying it's Dedrick Boyata's fault? Goodness sake, man. The team just aren't playing well for middle. Well, middle's no bad, but up front, we've had a lot of injuries, in and out. Smee Roberts, Dembele was out, Griffiths has been out. But that's where our problem's been this season, a few injuries that we didn't need.
Well, big squad to draw on.
But Hugh, they've just no put the ball in the net. Look at Tom Rogic on Saturday. Two clear chances through in the goals and he missed them. But he can score for 20 yards against Rangers.
Well, that's football for you. Sometimes they go for you and sometimes they don't.
That is football, innit? And Celtic are still 10 points clear and they'll win the league on Sunday. And they'll score 3 or 4 on Sunday again.
I'll get back to you, John.
Moussa Dembele, I suppose, Hugh, is the obvious one missing at the weekend. Derek, he is believed to, we believe he's going to be fit, but of course, he was out at the weekend. And if you compare the Rangers game last week to the Hibs game, a few things were different, obviously, but you see what Moussa Dembele brings you when he's not there, if that makes sense.
Absolutely, but you're talking about, you know, Celtic not taking their chances as they did last season. I mean, Morales has missed about 30 chances on his own, never mind any other Rangers player. You know, so everybody misses chances. I said that on Saturday with Rogic. I've never seen him do that before. Any time he's through with the keeper to beat, he's the coolest man ever. Sticks the ball in and he's done it so many times. But it's like everything else, on the day, it's how you're feeling on the day. And he had two great chances to score, especially the first one. The first one, normally he nips it in the corner and the goalkeeper gets his toe to it, just manages to keep it out. But the second one, he should do better when he's through in the middle of the goals and he hits the goalkeeper with it. But listen, that's what football's all about. I think that's the first 90 minutes that he played for a long time as well, because I think Brendan realised, I'm not taking him off because he'll always get a goal for me, because he normally comes off 60, 70 minutes and somebody else comes on.
Whether it's front or back, with regard to Celtic, one stat tells all. Last season, they dropped 8 points in total. This season, with 4 games still to play, they've dropped 27.
Have we not acknowledged a few times though that comparing to last season is bit pointless, because it was a one-off, a phenomenon.
But you know another stat and another fact which is absolutely crazy, Hugh. If you were to say to a Rangers fan before a ball is kicked, see, we 4 games to go, you're going to be 10 points behind Celtic, you're going to score more goals than them, and you're going to finish second in the league. You'd have grabbed that in a minute. But just how things work out with different teams and everything else. You know, the Rangers have been absolutely slaughtered for the last few months.
Kenny's the Jambo in Airdrie. Hi, Kenny.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
No, it's just I'm listening. I listen to the show every night, guys, and that. But I'm hearing everybody all of a sudden, Rangers are world beaters, but so many the possession and the shots on goal and all. Hearts simply were shocking on Sunday. And I would, you know, as a Jambo, I mean, I'm no, you know what I mean? You get the fanatics through here about their game and it's life and death if they lose, win or draw, you know what I mean? Either way, but I just feel Hearts were absolutely terrible and I didn't see why Rangers are getting a whole load of credit for it, because the game in general was boring.
I mean, it was boring simply because Hearts didn't want to lose the game. They got everybody back behind the ball and they're quite entitled to do that. Kenny, they're quite entitled to do that. Had they gone back to Edinburgh with a 0-0, they would have said great point away in Glasgow. But I would have thought, and I would like to think you would have thought as well, with the trouble that Rangers have been in and the stick they've been getting and the players were down, Hearts, with the team that they had, sure have gone out there and had a go at Rangers. I mean, it was a free hit for Hearts, really. It was a free hit and they were absolutely terrible.
Well, Derek, I totally agree with you there, mate. And I mean, my mates that are all season ticket holders and go home and away every week, mm-hmm. they're all finding Levine's tactics quite sort of strange, you know.
Yeah.
I personally thought that Hearts might have sneaked a win before the game happened at the weekend. I thought, there's a good chance of getting a wee win here at Ibrox.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm going to say that a horrible team for Edinburgh, Hibs, you know, they've came up like what Hearts did the first time when they came up. They had a good season. And I think what we're pointing out as well, that Celtic aren't as good as they were last season, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But people are learning to understand people's tactics, how they play.
Yeah.
And I just think that what I was doing in my game instead of, know that you can get the hats.
Yeah, praising the Stevie Clarks and the Neil Lennons and people like that have improved their size, haven't they?
But people go down on the game, Kenny, when Craig Levein sets his team out as he did yesterday at Ibrox. You know, he's already beaten Celtic 4-0 this season. And he's gone there with the Steve Naismiths, the Kyle Lafferty's. I thought young Lewis Moore looked a bit of a player, but there was a negativity to them, as if they were quite happy with 0-0.
Totally agree with you, that Hugh. I mean, that's why. I mean, a lot of Hearts fans are really wanting Levine out, but it looks like he's going to be there next season anyway. And at the end of the day, I'm all for supporting my team, whoever's there, and praying that you get a good result. You know what I mean? It's just about the enjoyment of watching your team. And but you're wanting your team to play a wee bit better than Hearts did on Sunday.
What you know with absolute certainty, Kenny, is that when you entertain Hibs at Tynecastle, it'll be an entirely different approach. And, you know, you shouldn't cherry-pick matches like that. You know, he had the players, as Derek said, he's going to Ibrox at a time when fans are protesting. They're on the rebound from a 4-0 caning from Celtic. And if ever Hearts should have gone there fancying their chances, it was yesterday, and they did nothing at all.
Derek, what about the approach in the sense that Craig Levein said in his post-match comments that they felt they could soak up Rangers' pressure, you know, and then break? But I mean, when you look at the personnel, as good as Lafferty and Naismith are and have been, who in that Hearts team is a danger on the counter-attack? That was the bit that just didn't seem to fit.
Well, Hugh mentioned the young lad that came on, you know, in the second half, bit of pace. I mean, I would have started it. It was a game actually for these youngsters with pace. When Rangers weren't up to it, just go and have a go at them. And you're right. I mean, even Naismith himself, who I think is a smashing player, he's somebody who plays off the strikers and, you know, just in front of the midfield. So when Lafferty gets it, he's the one that gets forward, you know, to try and help him out up front. It never happened. You know, it's already saying on the break we were hoping to score, but they gave the ball away so much, and Rangers closed them down eventually when they did come forward. They had two chances in the game. They scored from the free kick with a header from Berra, and when Lafferty hit the outside of the post. You know, that was the two chances had in the game. 2-1 absolutely flattered Hearts on the day. Tactically, you know, I'm not talking about tactics because it's Craig Levein's job, but watching it was the most boring first half I've ever seen in my life. And it takes two to tango. Rangers found it difficult to get through all these players, but Hearts were quite content just to play that way. And you're right, to go back and nothing each and take a point away from Ibrox, they would have been delighted with that.
Paul's on Twitter. He says, poor forward line, this is of Celtic of course, poor forward line compared to last season is what's highlighting the defensive mistakes overlooked last year because we were so good.
Beat the pundits with goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
It is almost time for Beat the Pundit. 30 seconds, as many questions right as you can, head to head for the chance to win yourself a signed ball. Hugh and DJ are ready to take you on, so if you fancy it, give us a call. 0141 951 1025 and you could play Beat the Pundit after the news.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play and pull a result out of the bag. Please gamble responsibly.
Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's show. In case you haven't heard, the Scottish FA have a new chief executive. We'll tell you who and we'll discuss it in a bit more detail after this.
Beat the Pundit with goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Hugh Keevans lost on Friday, am I right? The tiebreaker.
A penalty shootout.
The old penalty shootout. We'll see if we can get some redemption.
You had the post though.
It might be Derek, of course. Hugh and DJ standing by for Beat the Pundit. One of them is going to be up against Alison, who is a Celtic fan in Balloch. Hi Alison.
Hi there Gordon.
How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Feeling confident?
No, not really.
Not really.
Lovely Balloch. Beautiful
as
in
I
the
just
sunshine.
Said, Hugh
beautiful in Balloch.
Absolutely.
Derek before on that last show he was on.
Hugh lost on Friday, so his confidence is shot. If it's him, easy win. Heads, it's Hugh. Tails, it's DJ. Let's see what we get. Oh, he's off the hook. It's Tails, so it's going to be DJ. Let's give him.
Good luck, Alison. Well, good luck, to you, Pet. Good luck.
Well, I hope no cheerleading questions come up, Derek.
Right. Get those headphones on properly, please, Derek. And we'll give you some Clyde 2 so that you can't steal the answers. Right, Alison, 30 seconds. Head to head. You can pass. Here is your chance to beat the pundit, all right?
Okie doke.
Who opened the scoring for Hibs against Celtic on Saturday?
Pass.
Which club did Eamon Bannon start his playing career with?
Partick Thistle.
Who are currently second in the Scottish Championship?
Livingston.
Name the only French club to win the Champions League.
PSG.
Who are the only team to beat Kilmarnock in the league since October?
Celtic.
Which Scottish team are nicknamed the Wee Rovers?
The Wee Rovers?
Wraith. And who beat Ayr 2-1 yesterday? Just guess a team. Go on, just guess one. Any team.
Maybe
not. Dave
Junior.
Right. DJ, enough of the singing, please. We'll bring you back.
Real gone, kid. Oh, let me
happy with that.
It.
Yeah. Right. Brilliant. Same set of questions to you. Are you ready?
Okay.
Who opened the scoring for Hibs against Celtic on Saturday?
McLaren.
Which club did Eamon Bannon start his playing career with?
Hearts.
Who are currently second in the Scottish Championship?
Livingston.
The only French club to win the Champions League?
Monaco.
Who are the only team to beat Kilmarnock in the league since October?
Hibs.
Which Scottish team are nicknamed the Wee Rovers?
Albion Rovers.
Who beat Ayr 2-1 yesterday?
Alloa.
And how many points separate Dundee in 9th and Ross County in 12th?
4.
Right. How are you feeling about that, Alison?
Oh, I'm well beaten.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Right, let's go through them. Let's see. Let's get the scores on the door. So first question, who opened the scoring for Hibs against Celtic? It was Jamie McLaren, 1-0 to DJ. He made it 2-0. It was a fast start. Eamon Bannon started his playing career with Hearts. You got one on the board, certainly, Alison. Livingston, second in the Championship. That's a good good effort. Derek got it right as well, though. So it's 3-1 after three questions. The only French club to win the Champions League? Hugh?
PSG?
Marseille. So it's still 3-1. Still 3-1 to Derek. On to the next question. I'm surprised that you're here, DJ. Who are the only team to beat Kilmarnock in the league since October?
Is that Aberdeen?
Yes. Aberdeen are the ones who've...
But Hibs beat them 3-0 too, didn't they?
Yeah, since then.
Oh, is it? You never said that.
I did, since October. Which Scottish team are nicknamed the Wee Rovers? It is Albion Rovers. So it's 4-1 to DJ. And he made it 5-1 because Alloa beat Ayr 2-1. The last question didn't count. You got it wrong anyway. 6 points separate Dundee and Ross County. So a 5 for DJ and a 1 for Alison.
Good effort,
Alison.
Alison. Good effort.
Well, 5-1. Well done. Well done to you, Derek. 5-1, it's usually the other way about. But anyway, thanks for letting
us through. There's no need for that, Alison. No need for that.
Thanks to Alison. In Balloch, you'll have your chance to play Beat the Pundit again tomorrow night. Maybe you can get one over on the guys. Right, the Scottish FA has a new chief executive, Hugh Keevans. It's been a while now since Stuart Regan left the post at Hampden. No real surprises. The man to take over is Ian Maxwell of Partick Thistle fame.
Ian Maxwell, what can we say? Compared to Stuart Regan, Ian Maxwell is a man of the people type. He has also worked, if I can use the expression, at the coal face of Scottish football. He's played here and he's been at Partick Thistle for some time in an administrative capacity. So I think our football public will welcome Ian Maxwell and will be happy to see him in the office there.
What sort of powers will he have though, Hugh? Will it be exactly the same as Regan? Because we're all talking about, we need to change, we need to, you know, we need to do something
different.
It's
the same role. It's a chief executive role. I suppose looking from the outside, Hugh, the one thing you would assume, could be wrong, is that this should bring the Scottish FA and the SPFL a bit closer together, given that that's where Ian Maxwell's former role.
I'm quite sure that's how he sees it as well. You know, to answer Derek's question, the clue is in the title, chief executive. He'll be expecting to be the chief.
Well, let's hear from a man who knows all about the role. Former Scottish FA chief executive Gordon Smith believes Ian Maxwell is the right type of person to be taking over the role. The Partick Thistle managing director was announced as Stuart Regan's replacement today, and Smith says Maxwell's footballing experience could be key.
Yeah, I think that he's a good appointment because I think you're looking at someone who's been involved in the game at a good level in Scotland and he knows the game pretty well. So I think that it's been a good appointment to actually give someone like Ian Maxwell the job. Having been a chief executive, knows the game, having been a player as well. And I think that from that point of view, he's got good experience to come into this position. What you do require from the position is to know exactly in terms of what you can do going forward and in terms of improving the game, working along with people within the game at the different levels, because you're looking at the SFA, you're not just talking about professional clubs, you're also involved with dealing with people who are from the different levels of the game. I mean, SFA deal with football right from the grassroots level right through amateur football, junior football, ladies game. So there's a lot of different factions there and you have to be someone who is comfortable to deal along with all these.
01419511025 to have your say. Hugh, Not that Hugh. Another Hugh is on the line. He's a Partick Thistle fan in Cumbernauld. So I suppose, Hugh, you're well placed to tell us what kind of man Ian Maxwell is.
Yeah, Ian Maxwell is. I'm sad with the news that he's leaving us. He's done a fantastic job, especially with the PR trip with our mascot Kingsley. It wasn't just a UK thing; it was a worldwide thing. But what I was saying before I made my point is not everybody's happy with the decision. I've just been listening to another local station there, and your man from St Mirren, Stuart Gilmer, reckons it's a carve up. Because all the top teams wanted Ian Maxwell, so he thought it wasn't fair because other contenders thought, well, what's the point of applying if Ian Maxwell's such a shoo-in? So he's not happy with the decision anyway, guys.
Well, I'm sorry he said that or has chosen to say that, because you'd like to think that a man assumes this important role within Scottish football and that we can give him our universal approval. The public's perception of Stuart Regan was, I think, a man who was aloof from them, a man who didn't even watch enough Scottish football because he tended to go back home to Yorkshire every weekend. But in Ian Maxwell, they see someone who has played the game here, worked with a club here, and will have a stronger notion of what people want. So I'm sorry Stuart has chosen to make these remarks on the day that Ian Maxwell's appointment is announced.
The thing is, it's not Ian Maxwell's fault. If people like him, they like him. He obviously does a good job, because all the clubs go there to play Partick Thistle, and Thistle visit all their grounds, so they'll know what the man is like as well.
And I appreciate it was maybe slightly tongue-in-cheek from Hugh on the line, but I'm sure the powers that be at Hampden will be hoping that Ian Maxwell brings a bit more to the table than a fancy new mascot that gets a bit of publicity.
I mean, he was right to the extent that Kingsley got an incredible amount of publicity. But I'm sure that Ian Maxwell would like to be remembered for more than Kingsley. So now he's in that position where fans look at the game's hierarchy and they think they're all fat cats. They don't pay to get into football.
Well, let's be honest as well, Hugh. Let's acknowledge right now, the chief executive of the Scottish FA, or pretty much any FA, is a bit of a no-win position to be in. You're never going to please everyone.
Yeah, particularly in this country. You know, going back to decades ago, the most famous headline was always another SFA blunder. So fans have no time by and large for the hierarchy, whether it's the SFA or the SPFL. But here, I repeat, is a man of the people, Ian Maxwell.
But it's not a one-man job, Hugh. I mean, committees are there. How many different committees do we have in this country? So he's head of them all, I would imagine. He's always been instructed what to do. But he is the main man, you would imagine.
I was going to bring Hugh back on. He seems to have disappeared. Regan Stevenson's on Twitter. We're at Clyde SSB. He says, I feel Ian Maxwell's a great appointment, not only the experience of boardroom level, but a football man, which is a great combination and has been missing from the Scottish FA for many years.
The best man at the SFA for me in my lifetime was Ernie Walker.
Yeah.
Because Ernie Walker was a man of the people, and Ernie Walker instinctively knew what was best for the fans. And I know there were less sophisticated days. He didn't have all the problems with satellite television, terrestrial television.
Even committees, Hugh. He was a man that made the decisions. He took it upon himself. It's down to me. If it doesn't work, it's my fault.
You've acknowledged it yourself, but it is a different age, isn't it, with all the commercial responsibility
course,
that comes along with the role.
Of course. And Ian Maxwell will be well versed in all of that, I am sure. But the quality that Ernie had, he could relate to the fans, and I'm quite sure that Ian Maxwell can relate to the fans in that manner.
And the one thing that's for certain is it is a very different appointment. You talk about this man of the people, that was your phrase. Stuart Regan was more of a politician, if you like. You think back to his interviews where he pretty much just played everything with a straight bat. Political speak, if you like, of sidestepping certain issues and so on. It'll be interesting to see how Ian Maxwell deals with that side of it.
Stuart was a 21st century corporate person. He had corporate speak.
Well, he came from Yorkshire cricket. You know, that's where he come from, which is pretty hard down there as well.
So I'm looking to Ian Maxwell to simply embrace the Scottish public. He understands instinctively what they want. And I look for quite simple common sense judgment, and he will deliver that.
I'm going to try and get Hugh back on the line since he disappeared. He was a Partick Thistle fan, so that would lead us nicely on to another big result from the weekend. Thistle off the bottom of the table after beating Hamilton Accies. Let's hear from Alan Archibald.
Well, I thought we deserved it. I thought we started really well. I think the tribute to John helped. The crowd was up for it and the players started really brightly, and we probably went a goal behind to run a play. They were getting into it, Hamilton, they were coming into the game, to be fair to them, and they had that spell. But no, they showed fantastic spirit to come back.
You were worried at half-time, kind of 1-0 down, obviously, on your
honour? I was a wee bit concerned with the way we went about it. I think they caught up in the atmosphere a little bit and we went for it, and it looked like we hadn't done a tank in, but we'd put a lot into it and never got any reward. Never really worked our goalie. We had a couple of things scrambling about. And we just asked me to be a bit calm, because I thought once we lost the goal, we went a wee bit for 5 minutes, a wee wobble. And we just asked him, encouraging him, look, it'll come for us. I thought we merited it, it'd be a good play in the first half.
John again, popping up there.
Yeah, no, brilliant for him. And he was a real captain today. Obviously, he was replacing Abs as captain as well, so he played a real part as well, and a fantastic finish. And great for all the players. I mean, Connor's been out of the team because Dills has started today, and he came on and gave us a real lift too.
Was that first goal for almost 2 months, gave the boys the confidence to go and get the second?
Yeah, I think so. Like we said to him, forget everything. It's hard to do it because we try to say forget the previous games, all the third games before it, forget about it, it's done. We can't affect that. All we can affect is the next five. That has been our mantra since the split, since the games came out, and forget about it, and that's what we've been drilling home to them. Forget all the negative stuff, we've not scored, we've not won, it'll come for us, and we got it today.
Terrific finish for
Ryan
as well.
Yeah, I thought we should have scored with a bit before it, and you don't fancy him, it comes out, there's a lot of bodies in his way, and he done the right thing, he kept it down low and hard, and we get a wee break for it, so I was delighted with that.
Hugh and Cumbernauld, in terms of things on the field, you're off the bottom, are you staying up?
Yeah, well, I just going to ask the question, where have they been for the previous 30 games? You know, every man they have played, every player played, had a great game on Saturday. Yeah, it's been a good result. And I think I'm going there quite confident against St Johnstone, because we played them last year, we beat them 3-1, so I'm quite happy. Yeah, I think we will stay up.
You make a very valid point, Hugh, insofar as why do they wait until five games from home to deliver a performance like that? Now, we all know why. Saturday was emotion. It was John Lambie Day. And I wouldn't like to have been the Partick Thistle player that let down the Lambie family watching that match. And I wouldn't like to have been the Partick Thistle player who let down the supporters. I saw one snapshot from the game where there was a lady weeping into her Partick Thistle scarf as the minutes applause goes on before the game. That was the kind of emotion that was swirling around Firhill. Now, it's reality on Saturday. It's Perth, it's Tommy Wright, it's St Johnstone. They are the meat and two veg of the league.
Sorry,
to coin a phrase.
They are your everyday working class, hard working team. So Partick Thistle need to go up there and scrap.
Jim McLaughlin's on Twitter at Clyde SSB, delighted with Saturday's result, but I fear the fixture permutations could be against us. I'd bite your hand off for a playoff spot. And Jonathan as well, Jonathan Glenn, brilliant tribute, brilliant performance, brilliant result, and brilliant weather. He's even included the weather, Hugh. Now we need to keep the momentum going with a good result against St Johnstone. Thank you to Hugh in Cumbernauld. 0141 951 1025 for you to get in touch. Mark is a Celtic fan in Maryhill. Hi, Mark.
Boys.
Not bad, thanks. What's on your mind tonight?
Oh no, well, Hugh's kind of stole my thunder on many things. Like John Lambie's the first one, obviously being a Celtic fan, doesn't matter. John Lambie was a legend, I think. And he should be treated like that by the Partick Thistle fans. It's absolutely fantastic, as far as I can see.
Yeah, I don't think the club can do any more than to name a stand after him, and to, you invite the Lambie family to the match and let them speak and get their emotions across. So
he was a great man to talk to about football, Hugh. You know, his language was very colourful, but you didn't mind that because he was such a good lad and knew the game inside. He's another one that got the best out of players as well.
As I say, look beyond the swearing and the cigarettes and the cigars and the pipe and the pigeons.
He was a good lad.
This is a solid football manager who won back-to-back promotions for Partick Thistle. This wasn't a circus act. This was a solid football manager.
What was your other point, Mark?
Just about Celtic in general, really. I watched them against, obviously, Hibs at Easter Road, and Hibs by far were the better team. So there's no arguments for it. I actually said that to the boy behind the ranks, if you know what I mean. There's no argument that they were the better team. But at the same time, Craig Gordon's distribution was disgraceful. And the three centre-halves didn't work. Sometimes you need two, a right-back and a left-back, with a bit of guile to get up the park. And
I thought Ayer did well. I think Ayer did well. See, when Ayer was getting picked up the ball and he was running 40, 50 yards with it, I think he looked really a really good player. Yeah, somebody that has played in midfield as well, so it's not new to him. If you're talking about using the ball, certainly I think he's the best out the back three of picking it up and taking you forward.
Yeah, if you were looking for a positive from Celtic's performance on Saturday, Hugh, he would be the obvious one, wouldn't he?
Yeah. When they get to Rangers on Sunday, it'll be different because this fixture... Dembele will play for sure from the start, assuming that he is 100% fit. This fixture is his. He scored 7 goals against Rangers since he joined Celtic. It brings the very best out in others. Celtic, for some reason, can go to Hamilton and be absolutely woeful against 10 men, and then in the next game beat Rangers 4-0. And then in the next game after that, I don't know whether it's the aftermath of the Rangers game or simply that Hibs were so good, but not a lot coming from Celtic.
Okay, thanks to Mark in Maryhill for his thoughts. We're going to get the full-time teaser up and running. That's when you guys send a question to us and we try and catch the pundits out with it. But before we do that, listen up to this because I've got something a bit different for you, something interesting indeed. It's the men's 10K on in Glasgow, Sunday the 17th of June. That's Father's Day, of course. Listen, I'm not expecting to see Hugh or Derek on the start line. Don't worry.
Why?
Well, listen, you might surprise me. It starts at the Riverside Museum, finishes up at George Square. Now, to sign up and for the chance to win a men's 10K VIP package, that includes entry to the race, £125 run for it voucher, a 6-month gym membership, Nuffield Health, a VIP membership, no less as well. So a great package being thrown in. Just go to Clyde1.com/men's10K.
We'll be on
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson here with me, Gordon Duncan, and it's time for them to tackle this full-time teaser. That's when you send a question to us, we get it up and running at this time of the night, and we give the pundits between now and the end of the show to try and come up with all the correct answers. So this one's been sent in by Anthony McShane. Thank you to Anthony. If you've got a question, send it in fulltime@clyde1.com. That's fulltime@clyde1.com. So quite a simple one, he says, before he's even read it out and sees the look in your face. Which 7 players have played international football for someone other than England but have captained a team to the Premier League title? So 7 players have played international football for someone other than England but have captained a team to the English Premier League title.
I assume other than England and Scotland.
Or just England.
Why did you single out England?
Just this Anthony's question. I don't know. You only take it up with him.
So likes of Graeme Souness?
No, English Premier League 1992 onwards. So Souness wouldn't come into it anyway.
Read the question again.
Oh my goodness. 7 players have played international football for someone other than England.
Yeah.
And have captained a team to the English Premier League title.
The English Premier League title
has nothing to do with Scotland.
Patrick Vieira.
Yes. Well done, yes. Hugh Keevans. So you've only got 7 more to go. Patrick Vieira of Arsenal, of course. Any more?
I take it it's not Roy Keane.
Why'd you take it that?
Well, I'm just asking you.
So is that one of your answers, or do you take it it's not him?
I would just say yes.
It is one. That's right. A bit more confidence, please. A bit more conviction. Roy Keane and Patrick Vieira, old rivals from back in the day. Any more in the meantime before I move on?
We'll get back to you.
Right, okie doke. It was quite a day and night, and probably morning, then afternoon, then night in Paisley at the weekend as they finally got their hands on the trophy. Jack Ross joined us live in the programme on Saturday. Says he's delighted to repay the fans for sticking with them with a title win this season. It was a farewell, if you like, from Lewis Morgan. Scored one and set up one in a win over Morton. And Ross says it will be a big task to replace the winger when he goes to join Celtic in the summer.
About 16, 17 months ago, we were in a really difficult place. And at that time, I think supporters could have chosen to
to turn their back on the club, but they didn't. You know, it's a proper football club with a proper fan base, and they backed us through a difficult period. I think we rewarded them on the pitch with the performances we put in, and they've bought into that for them this season, and it's been a terrific journey, and I'm delighted that so many of them were able to join in with that today and then this evening as we go through Paisley as well. Yeah, I enjoyed today, and I think that I stressed to my players to do that, so I think it was important I tried to do it as well. If the only downside today was him reminding me how hard he'll be to replace, because he sets up one and scores the other, and the only reason I take him off with 5 minutes to go is to ensure that he gets me good tickets for games if I ever need them. But he's been a match winner for us. That's the best way to describe him. There are a lot of players that have made massive contributions to us over the season in very different ways, but that's the best description. It's an old-fashioned description, but yes, he's a match winner, and that is not easy to replace, but we'll do that. And I think the thing to point out with that as well is when I took the job, when we came in as a staff, Lewis had ability, but I don't think he was producing it at that level and in that consistency. So that's the challenge for us as the staff, not just find one, but find one that can get better and improve, and hopefully give them a platform and a confidence that they can go and show the best of themselves.
DJ, not such a happy day if you're a Morton fan, but from a St Mirren perspective, the sun was shining, you beat your nearest rivals, you lift the trophy, bus parade, all the rest of it, and Lewis Morgan doing his piece as well.
Just a great weekend for St Mirren, and nearly 6,300 people at the game again. You know, that's the second time in a row they've had over 6,000 at the game, so fantastic for them. They've deserved to win a bit. Jack knows there's a bit of work to do. He's going to lose one of his top players, obviously, in Lewis Morgan, who's played a huge part. But as I said, and I said to Jack on Saturday after the game, he's got two or three really good youngsters, but he needs that experience. Players that have played, I think, in the Premiership as well. He needs a couple of them and just to guide these lads going forward. But that'll all be in the bag. You'll be talking to the directors already. And Paisley's a happy place once again. Well done again to them.
Yeah, I mean, the problem they have, having won and having had the elation of the weekend, and they're now going up, they've rejoined Scottish football's elite. Now all the old practical problems kick in. Lewis Morgan has gone, and others are still waiting to see if they're getting a contract for next season. These are the things. Success comes along, you have to savour the moment, but then you're faced with the practical difficulties that come with the higher level.
Well, Tom is a St Mirren fan in Paisley. An enjoyable weekend for you, Tom.
Thanks very much, Corin. We enjoyed it, and I'd like to compliment Jack Ross, James Howard, and everybody at St Mirren Football Club for a great season. Compliments to everybody involved in St Mirren, but the fans were fantastic on Saturday again.
Have you got a standout moment from the season, Tom?
I think the turning point was when we beat Dundee United at Paisley 2-0 when Craig Sampson saved the penalty against McMillan. I think that was the turning point.
Yeah, that was.
I think I was at that game. I think the Dundee United not played really well in the first half,
and then
St Mirren came out of the second half and absolutely battered them.
Well, then, sorry, Derek, my apologies, Derek. I thought that was a turning point when Craig Sampson saved the penalty. But Craig Sampson had a good cut of saves just before half time as well, and that gave us a wee lift.
Yeah, he's the strength of the side, Sampson.
Dear me. Tom, we just heard from your manager, Jack Ross, talking about the reality now of trying to replace someone like Lewis Morgan. I mean, how big a task is that going to be?
Well, firstly, I'd like to wish Lewis Morgan all the best at the Glasgow Celtic Football Club. But the most important is, everybody says we're a one-man team. There's 10 other guys apart from Lewis Morgan.
Correct.
He's done a great job, but whatever you'd like to see us go for, I'd like to see us go for Sam Stanton and Dundee United.
Okay, I like that. That's what I like. You, Tom, who's had a think about
young
it.
He's identifying in the big league.
The targets. We already, if you remember on Saturday's show, we heard from Stephen McGinn, called it the greatest moment of his career. He's already been given a 2-year contract extension.
What a bonus getting him.
So the plans are getting there, Hugh.
Listen, Jack Ross is simply too clever a man to be caught napping. He will have all the players that he wants. He will have the list that he will give to Gordon Scott, his chairman, to see what can and cannot be done. So we're not telling Jack anything he doesn't know. And chief among his priorities is to find someone, if not an exact facsimile of Lewis Morgan, but someone who can give him that amount of danger and please the crowd at the same time.
Thank you to Tom in Paisley. It's 01419511025. If you want to get in touch, John is a Rangers fan in Greenock. Hi, John.
How we doing, all right?
Yeah, not bad, you.
Not bad. DJ, obviously, earlier on, you were talking about Rangers fans. If you gave them at the now 10 points behind, they'd probably be happy.
and bite their hand off. I'm actually quite okay because Celtic are far superior than now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? The Rangers. But there was a wee thing yesterday when I was listening to the football and Andy Walker came on and says, Rangers were scared of Celtic. They weren't scared at Ibrox, so they're scared at Celtic Park. And I'm like, I don't think so. I just think they're far superior than now.
Yeah.
But we're getting there, as you know, this year is a wee step closer. The points in there aren't much of a difference. So I think we're getting there. What do you think?
Yeah, but Rangers will have to strengthen again. I think, and you would probably say the same thing, you know, to lose 7 games at home and draw 2 is useless. You know, 25 points dropped at home, never mind anything else that you do. You know, and that's with beating the likes of Aberdeen 3 times so far this season. You know, and you can't do that. I still think the jersey's still a bit heavy for 2 or 3 of the players that are there. Good players that they are, but they just can't seem to handle it. When things go bad at Rangers and the stick starts flying from the terrace and a lot of them start hiding. They certainly didn't hide yesterday, that's for sure. Everybody stood up and were counted yesterday. But remember, they've still got 3 players. You don't know if they're going to be there next year. You know, are they going to sign them? I would doubt it. 3 of them that they won't sign. The likes of Goss, who's not even getting a shout now. There's no way you're thinking that he's going to come. You know, Martin won't come. So they're going to have to bring in better players in the summer. Now, if they can do that, bring in youngish players that are good, then have a wee chance of going forward again a bit. But this season has been disappointing with the home form. That's the thing that you normally get. You lose 1 or 2 games at home, that's expected. But to lose 7, that is a huge problem for Rangers.
There's the one area where I would question what you're saying, Derek, where you said if you'd offered the Rangers supporters a 10-point gap between them and Celtic, they would have said, yeah, we'll settle for that just now. In that case, why are they standing with banners saying incompetent on and off the park?
But that's what I'm saying to you. You know, you can't believe how close they are. I mean, they're second in the league and they're 10 points behind. This time last season, I think they were 23 points behind or whatever it was. So that, in that sense, you know, they're a wee bit better. There's still plenty to do, don't get me wrong. But I think the ones that have come in January, I don't think they'll be signing them. I think they're going to have to be looking. And you're just talking about the Arfield fella. You know,
I meant to bring that up earlier.
I don't know if that's true. There's a bit of truth in it. Good player he is, great experience. We don't know if that's going to happen, but it's quality players like that they're going to have to bring in.
Hugh, whether scared is the right word or not, we went over this a lot after the previous fixture. So Celtic, very, very comfortable in the most recent meeting of the side. And then if you go back to the one before that, that's when Rangers had a real optimism that something could be done. Yeah. Celtic down to 10 men. Celtic still won it. It's 10 unbeaten in the fixture. So I'm not sure if scared is the right word, but there does appear to be, there is a big hurdle there that Rangers have to try and overcome, because Celtic in that fixture at the moment are relatively comfortable.
I think the word that must have been used in the context of the cup tie at Hampden, because in that game, taking that game in isolation, Rangers looked intimidated by Celtic or frightened by Celtic. Choose your own word. But Celtic established a 4-goal lead and stopped playing. The last 15 minutes of the match were a testimonial game. So that it had an awful effect on Rangers on the day. The immediate aftermath led to 2 suspensions to Lee Wallace and to Ken Miller. But Rangers looked back in the reasonable form on Sunday against Hearts, and we'll see what happens to them on Sunday at Celtic Park.
John, in you come.
I was just saying, see, any realistic Rangers fan, and going to Derek there, is I'll be realistic, Celtic are far superior at the minute, so I didn't expect us to win the league this year. I expect us to be a bit closer, but not to win the league. They've got far superior players, they've got the cash. Rangers can't spend the money right. I think the only player they get right is Ree Murphy, who's come in. But I just don't think we're there at all, and it needs a massive improvement again in the summer.
Yeah. I don't think there's any doubt with that, but I would never say any player is scared of anybody else. You know, they might be superior to the opposition, but I don't think a player goes out there feeling scared. You know, there are times where just things don't go for you, and on that day, I don't think there was one Rangers player really that got pass marks in the game. It was one of these games where they were just battered by Celtic, and it happened. That didn't happen 3 weeks previous at Ibrox. And Celtic with 10 men won the game 3-2. But Morales, again, when you remember, has missed 2 absolute sitters in the last 5 minutes. So Rangers could really sneak to draw out of that, but they didn't. The bottom line is they were beaten again. But there wasn't the furore about that game, because Rangers matched Celtic on that day. last week was the
Celtic were down to 10 men for a long time, probably the
worst doing they've had from Celtic in a long, long time was last Sunday.
But Celtic were down to 10 men and then still won the game, so I know it was close.
Yeah, but
they'd
one shot at goal in the second half and scored, but they're
a good consolation to anyone, is it? Yeah. You don't come away from a game talking about how many shots the other team had in the second half.
I'm talking about two really good, and one from 6 yards where he's got a free shot at goal and hits the post. You know, had they got a draw, it would have been deserved. But
the bottom line for the directors at Rangers is, as they look around Ibrox yesterday, empty seats, banners saying incompetent on and off the park, silent protests. So they know, in general terms, never mind whether they're frightened of Celtic, intimidated by Celtic, whatever, the fans know that in general terms, this is not good enough, and that's the problem that the board will have to address.
You can say that about the empty seats, but it was only 2 or 3 weeks ago when Celtic, was it Ross County that played at Celtic Park and it was half empty? You know, I mean, that happens. People have got other things on, and if you're not challenging for leagues or whatever, people don't turn up. It's as simple as that.
I think yesterday was a form of protest though.
01419511025. I can see you playing along on Twitter. Scott Wright's got some good answers in. Hugh has had his usual good go on Twitter. Yep, Reagan's back on as well. So we're looking for 2 seconds. I'll just remind you of the question if you don't mind, because some people might not have heard it. You know, that's the way it works. 7 players have played international football for someone other than England and have captained a team to the Premier League title. You've already given me Roy Keane and Patrick Vieira.
Williams, the captain of Leicester City. No.
No, I was thinking of Leicester when they won it. God, well, who's won it? Chelsea. Oh, but John Terry, wasn't it? He was the captain all these years. John Terry. David Luiz never picked it up.
Nope.
No.
I mean, obviously only a couple of teams have really
won it.
So
Manchester United.
Yeah, I mean, you need to be thinking a bit more Man United. There's some other teams
Liverpool
in there as well.
Vidic.
Yes, Vidic. That's one of the ones I thought. Well done. Any more?
No. We're thinking.
Right, okay, we're looking for the 7 players who've played international football for someone other than England and have captained the team to the English Premier League title.
He's playing me Man City just now, isn't he?
It's the easy one. Who are the champions at the moment?
Man City.
He always looks at me.
Well, you're the man. I'm giving you a chance to redeem yourself. Who's the captain of Manchester City?
Company.
Correct.
We'll get the rest of the answers next. Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap-in. Please gamble responsibly. Into the final part of tonight's show with Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson. They're having a go at this teaser that was sent in by Anthony McShane. If you've got a good question and you want to fire it over, please do. We'll get it on the show if possible. Fulltime@Clyde1.com is the address you need. For tonight's question, we're looking for 7 players who played international football for someone other than England and have captained a side to the English Premier League title. They're doing okay. They've already given me Patrick Vieira, Roy Keane, Nemanja Vidic and Vincent Kompany. So you're halfway there. Any more? That silence means no, by the way.
Uh-huh.
I'll translate
it
for you.
Remember the Leicester City captain.
You are trying to remember the Leicester City captain.
Yeah. We thought it was Williams, the Welshman, but
no, he was Swansea and then went to Everton.
Oh, so what is that Welshman? It wasn't Williams. What's his
name? No, it's not Welsh. You're thinking of Ashley Williams for some reason, who is a Swansea player that went to Everton, so he's never won.
No, there was another Williams at Leicester City.
No, forget the name Williams. I'm telling you, it's not Williams.
But he did play there. Maybe he's not. He wasn't the captain.
I don't care. Forget it, because it's not the one we're looking for.
Oh, God.
And as we've established, only a couple of sides have won it, so you need to think, right, I'll hurry you along a bit. Think Man United, and of course, you're looking for the Leicester one as well, so if you can start progressing down those lines, we should get somewhere. Craig is a Celtic fan in Ardrossan. Hi, Craig.
Hi, how you doing, bud?
Not too bad. How are you?
Good, yeah, I'm not bad. I'm a first-time caller. My point is, I was watching the game on Saturday, the Celtic Hibs game, and the manner in which we get beat, we've been beaten like that 3 times this season. So you've got Hearts, Kilmarnock and New Hibs at the weekend. There's only one other team in this league that plays that consistency. So that is the high pressure, the high tempo, that consistent the whole season, and it's Motherwell. Now, we've got them in the final, so I think that maybe calls for a cause for concern for some Celtic fans, definitely myself. Just kind of want to know what you think about that.
See, I think that on the day that Hearts beat Celtic 4-0, you have to say, thrilling performance from Hearts, but you could pick all sorts of faults in the Celtic display that day. I mean, Simeonovic and my old pal Boyata were absolutely at sea. Then you go to the Kilmarnock game. You know, I hate that pitch, and you know, for some Celtic just don't prosper there. But you can't take anything away from Stevie Clark and what he has achieved with Kilmarnock. But you know, and again, I wouldn't take a single thing away from Neil Lennon, from Dylan McGeoch, from John McGinn, from Lewis Stevenson. I mean, great performances all throughout. But at the same time, you are entitled to say that Celtic had an awful lot of big star name players there, multi-million pound players, who individually and collectively just had a rank rotten day. And I expect it to be different on Sunday because it's Rangers, because Celtic can win the title if they win the match, because there'll be an unbelievable atmosphere inside Celtic Park. But there are occasions this season when you can look at Celtic and say, wow, they can be mediocre at times.
What about Craig's point specifically though, Derek, about the Scottish Cup final, in terms of it's on the occasions that Celtic have lost, the other team has managed to get in their faces, if you like.
Absolutely.
Very aggressive, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's the difference. I think Motherwell are a very, very fit side. I always thought that Celtic were the fittest side in the country as well. But having watched Motherwell and that game against Aberdeen, where they were running 70 yards to close people down, 5 minutes to go and everything else, this is a very fit side. And you're right, they're a good physical side as well. But they've got players in there who can punish you. They've got two strikers that will make your back four work. That is for sure. And they won't give you a minute's peace. This is going to be a harder final than people think it's going
to
be.
Having said that, Craig, perhaps you need to cut your own team a bit of slack, because you don't get to being on the verge of a double treble and all it takes for someone to beat you is to get in your face. You know, Celtic can handle that as well. I know you've pointed out the occasions that they haven't, but I'm sure Brendan Rodgers isn't panicking too much.
Oh, I know that, but I mean, that's what worries me. The fact the double treble is what I want the most. Sunday will handle it, you know. But we're going to win the league anyway, whether it's against Rangers or whether it's a game after. But I mean, the Scottish Cup final, double treble is what I want. Obviously making history is what every football team wants. And I mean, losing it against us, just looking back, obviously, on our games, the games that have been beaten, they've played a very aggressive, very high tempo and pressing game. So obviously that's just kind of worries me, the fact that Motherwell were so consistent in doing that game in, game out.
I see Craig's point, Hugh, but if you remember back to the Hearts defeat, we had these very similar conversations. Let's not forget that it's not as simple as, okay, get in Celtic's face and you'll beat them.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot more to it than that.
That helps.
But I'd say this to you, Gordon.
Hibs have got very good football players.
If Brendan Rodgers, let's take the cup final in isolation here, because that's what Craig's talking about and his concerns about Motherwell. If you had said to Brendan Rodgers at the start of the season, you win the Scottish Cup and you'll win the league for the seventh time in a row, and you will play in the Scottish Cup final going for the double treble against a team who didn't make the top six, with the greatest respect to Motherwell, and we have praised them time without number on this programme, if you're Brendan Rodgers, you have to say, okay, that'll do me. And if Celtic don't make the gulf in class tell on the 19th of May, then they will be partly responsible for their own downfall, because they have a squad that Motherwell couldn't begin to look at in terms of what they cost and their stature.
Yeah, Hugh Moan's on Twitter saying Motherwell haven't won in the league since February 24th, so other Premiership teams seem to have coped against them. You want the final words, Craig?
No, that's it.
Oh, happy days, there we go. That was Craig's first call. We'll have you back anytime, Craig and Ardrossan. I think that looks like that'll be the last call. I won't try and squeeze another one in. How about this teaser? 7 players have played international football for someone other than England, but have captained a side to the English Premier League title. We've got Vidic, Keane, Vieira and company so far.
We need help, Gordon.
No, it's a bit early.
Did Cantona ever...
Yes, Hugh Evans. The old timer with a late resurgent to the box. He's got one. Right, any more? So you've only got 2 to get then, yeah?
Are they Manchester or are they... Oh, well, Leicester. We still don't know Leicester.
Mm-hmm.
Who was it? Leeds United, was there? Was that before 92? Yeah, it was before 92. Oh,
any more for any more? You've got 2 to get. So we've established that one is the Leicester captain. You keep bizarrely shouting Williams at me, but that's definitely not his name. Let me see. I'm trying to
Give us his nationality.
Well, see the other one. The other one you'll be kicking yourself.
Oh, more than likely.
Now, if you're thinking about English Premier League great, in fact, he's probably the English Premier League great, or he's certainly right up there. What country did I say in the question? Played for someone other than
England.
Right. So perhaps you don't need to look too far from that.
Is it Dalglish?
No.
No. 92.
So you don't have to look too far from England to find this guy's nationality. And it's not, he's not a countryman of Roy Keane, who was one of your previous answers. Like I said, you're talking ultimate English Premier League great here, or one of. No doubt about it. What a trophy cabinet this guy's got. Come on.
Well, not too far from England is here, Scotland.
Right, it's not that either.
Then it's Ireland.
And it's not that either.
France.
It's William.
What did you just say?
Welsh.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right, come on.
Ryan Giggs.
Giggs. We got there in the end. So that means you're only looking for one more. He's the Leicester City captain. And he has played his international football
for...
If I tell you this, you're going to squish.
No, we're struggling.
Jamaica. It's not quite the giveaway clue I thought it was going to be. So he's a centre-back.
I know.
Captained Leicester to the title. He plays his international football for Jamaica.
We'll need his initials. We'll need to go the full burn here.
W. M. Always takes initials with you too. WM
Will.
Centre back for Leicester, plays his international football for Jamaica. So you think the defender they had Robert Huth, of course, wasn't him.
Yeah.
We know that Vardy and Mahrez took all the headlines. WM. I can hear Glasgow in the West shouting on the radio. If you listen, open that window, you'll hear them.
It's Willie.
It's not Willie, no. I really don't know what else to tell you. It's a short first name, very short, three letters.
Wes.
Oh.
How can you have his first name, his nationality, his club, and you can't even think of the surname?
Brain fade.
So Wes. M. Seriously. Wes. You two are incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Wes. Oh God, I see him as well. What's your name?
I give up.
What's your
I genuinely
name?
Give up. Morgan.
Where's Morgan? Oh,
anyway,
dear.
Right, thanks to Hugh and DJ. Don't go anywhere though, because Callum Gallagher's up next and he's going to be joined by Liam Payne of One Direction.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play and pull a result out of the bag. Please gamble responsibly.